You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Vaping is currently the subject of a debate, with certain clinicians suggesting vape sales should use a prescription-only model. I spoke to Associate Professor Kelly Burrows from the Auckland Bioengineering Institute about the ongoing debate on whether or not vaping should be made prescription-only in Aotearoa. This is a change that some countries, including Australia, have already made. I started off by asking if the government was already planning to make vaping prescription-only.
I believe the government isn't planning that yet, but it is the clinicians that are petitioning to try and make this happen.
What are the benefits of making vapes prescription only?
The idea is that it will restrict access to vapes so that people will have to get a prescription from their GP and show that they've used other ways to quit smoking. So it's really trying to enforce that vapes are used as a smoking cessation tool, which is what they were designed for originally.
What are the potential downsides of making vapes prescription only?
So there will be some issues to resolve, I guess, in terms of how people can obtain those vapes. So Australia, for example, have used this prescription-only method, and I think overall it's working really well. So you can only get nicotine-containing vapes in with a prescription. However, they still allow selling of non-nicotine vapes in shops. And as I understand it, it's not that tightly controlled, so people can still actually buy nicotine-containing vapes. So I guess what it might do in New Zealand is sort of set up a more of a black market. You know, maybe people will still be able to obtain them.
Would the vapes have to be obtained from a pharmacist, or are there prescription stores that are similar to current vape shops in Australia?
In Australia? In Australia, I believe you can either order products online if you've got a prescription, or from pharmacies. Those sorts of details, if it happened in New Zealand, would still need to be worked out.
How does this debate fit within New Zealand's smoke-free goals?
So, I mean, I personally think that it still fits with the smoke-free goals. So the real reason why e-cigarettes were created was as a smoking cessation tool. So bringing it in as a prescription is still really trying to help those people stop smoking. But what it's really trying to protect is those younger people or people who don't already smoke from starting up a new habit around nicotine.
What do you envision happening to the varieties of flavors and strengths available for both disposable and reusable vapes if a prescription-only model takes off?
So, again, that would be something that would need to be worked out, but I personally think that that flavoring should be banned. So a lot of places in the US, for example, it's state by state over there, but a lot of the states are now banning flavors and only allowing tobacco flavors and menthol flavoring. I mean, some countries have even banned e-cigarettes overall. But yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I think reducing the appeal by really bringing back the number of flavorings you can get, so reducing that appeal for younger people to actually, you know, really enjoy the taste of vaping.
In your opinion, should disposable vapes be banned altogether?
Yes, absolutely. That's something I'm very keen to see. So these disposable vapes you can get for about $10 for one. They make it really accessible for younger people or people with not a lot of money to spend to be able to buy one of these disposable vapes. But the other issue is the environmental concerns. So these are single-use products that are then thrown in the rubbish, and they contain, you know, a lot of electronic components and batteries that are just being thrown away and could be really valuable in other sorts of technologies.
That was Associate Professor Kelly Burrows of the Auckland Bioengineering Institute on a prescription model for vaping in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.